I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles once again to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And for a few moments this morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the 10th and 11th verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." My dear congregation, it's a privilege on this feast day to take the opportunity to preach Christ unto you. And what we've read in this passage, which we all know so very well, is tremendous news. This was truly the best news that this world has ever been given. The spiritual darkness that had covered the earth for 4,000 years was about to fade away by the dawn of the gospel light. The doors of pardon and reconciliation and peace with God were about to be thrown open to the sons of men all around the world. The head of the enemy of God and the church, Satan, was finally about to be bruised. Liberty would now be the word that is proclaimed to every prisoner of sin. The receiving of sight to the sin blind. The mighty truth was about to be revealed that God could be just, and yet, for Christ's sake, justify the ungodly. All things were now going to be made new. Salvation would no longer be seen through the types and shadows of the Old Testament ceremonial law, but openly and face to face. The oracles of God, the Word of God, the testimony of God would no longer be bound by the borders and parameters of one single nation, but would be freely proclaimed to the whole Gentile world. And congregation, if these were not good tidings, if this is not good news, then there's nothing else worthy of that title. And what we have here in our text by the voice of angels is God's gospel. It brings good news from heaven, from God Himself. He commissioned the angels to say these exact words. But more than that, they're tidings of the absolute best things, even for the worst of sinners. And it's news not for the shepherds only, but it's news to sinners as sinners, including the very worst of sinners. It's the glorious tidings, glad tidings of the blessed God giving a correct view of how we ought to see the salvation of God, giving correct views of His nature, revealing His loving heart, proclaiming His gracious thought, and making known His mercy to the sons of men. This is good news. This news is given to bring joy to the saddest heart. It's to cheer the depressed mind. It's to fill the despairing soul with something that they have never known, and that is happiness and peace. And no one but an infinite God could have created these things. No one but an all-merciful would have ever sent them. So our theme this morning is going to be good tidings of great joy. And in this passage, we're going to see that the good tidings of great joy, first, is a Savior. Secondly, it is a Savior from sin. And then lastly, it is a Savior forever. Good tidings of great joy is a Savior from sin, and a Savior forever. Well, first then, good tidings of great joy is a Savior. There was a Christian man who was raised as a devout Hindu, and now he is on his own deathbed. And so his Hindu family and friends came around him, came around his bed to comfort him. And they did so by reading some passages of their scriptures. But he waved them off with his hand as if to say, I don't want to hear it. Then they called in a Hindu priest, and he said, if you will only recite the Namtra, it will deliver you from hell. And again, without speaking, he just waved his hand away as if to say, I don't want to hear that. Then they said, well, call then on Juggernaut. Juggernaut is a Hindu god, an elephant man mix. And he shook his head as if to say, I can't do that. And then they thought maybe he's too weary to speak. And they said, well, if you can't say Juggernaut, then just at least think of that God. And he shook his head three times to say, no, no, no. Then they bent down to his pillow and they said, in what then will you trust as you die? And his face lit up with the glories of heaven. And with all of his dying strength, he said, Jesus. Jesus. The angels here said, a Savior. A Savior that is Christ the Lord. And that is the only hope for any one of us. The best news that anyone in any land has ever heard is the news of the Savior. One who can save such a sinner as we are. And not only can save them, but is willing to save them. This morning we're told that God sent His Son to be a Savior. It says, to all people. That the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, possessing the nature of the Father and equal to the Father in majesty and power and glory, as we saw a little while ago, that this only begotten Son came into this world and He took upon Himself our nature, and He did so for one specific purpose, and that was to make atonement for sin and open the way in which any sinner and every sinner who will may be saved. Saved certainly, saved completely, saved eternally. And yes, any sinner can be saved now, this morning. This proclamation, it demonstrates that there's no obstacle in the path but unbelief. That there's no legal difficulty standing in the way but self-righteousness. Jesus had all of the qualifications that were required in one person to save the vilest of sinners, to save without price, save freely, and to save all who will apply to Him to be saved. That's why the Belgic Confession of Faith in Article 22 says, appropriates Him. Do you know what that word appropriates means? To appropriate something is to take something exclusively to yourself. To take Him for yourself. And dear ones, these glad tidings then, these glad tidings of great joy they're to exclude despair. They're to prohibit depression. They're intended to scatter away any doubts. Fear not. Fear not. There is in reality no room for a single doubt. No room for a solitary fear. If the gospel is understood as we saw last Lord's Day evening and believed, any sinner, be he who he may, every sinner, be what she will, may be saved. And be saved the moment the gospel is heard. And it doesn't matter where that gospel finds you, whether it's on the street or whether it's in a pew or in some other church or in your home or over the airwaves of the radio or the internet. It doesn't matter what condition that it finds you in. It doesn't matter what your station is in life, whether you're young or old or a female or a male or poor or rich. Jesus is an almighty Savior. And He's an ever-willing Savior. He's a loving Savior. There's no reluctance on His part whatsoever. And He calls sinners to Himself. Sinners of every name, sinners of all circumstances, sinners of every color and kind and kindred. His invitation embraces all that are under its sound, without distinction, without discrimination. You see, congregation, it says that this shall be to all people. That means that when the gospel is heralded and preached, it makes no distinction. It excludes none. To paraphrase Ralph Erskine, the Scottish minister, the person who hears this is as sincerely invited by Jesus to come and be saved by Him as if a letter had been written and addressed to that person by Christ. All who hear are invited. All who are invited are desired to come. And all who come are welcomed. And all who are welcomed are saved. Can you think of any better news than this? A Savior for sinners. A Savior to deliver from the pit, from the lowest hell, and raise them to the highest heaven. A Savior from sin, the cause of suffering, from guilt, from the source of fear, and from the world which is doomed to destruction. Dear ones, this morning, the best news that we can hear is that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Secondly, a Savior from sin. Next to this good tidings of great joy is a Savior from sin. That He came to ransom, He came to minister to, He came to rescue those who would be lost for all eternity. 200 years ago, there were many inhabitants of what was then called the Sandwich Islands, which are now called the Hawaiian Islands, that they were plagued by leprosy. And the inhabitants eventually decided that it was best to gather all of the lepers together and then, or really anyone even with the slightest symptom of leprosy, and put them on a ship and send them away to a lonely island in that cluster, and that there they would spend the remainder of their days. There they would live, and because of the disease, die slowly, while the rest of their fellow citizens were saved from the plague. And this band of sick pilgrims were gathered on the shore of one of these islands, about to depart by a ship which would carry them away for the rest of their lives. And there stood a minister, and as he saw the multitude leaving forever, he said, "Take me. I want to go with them. I'm going to go and dwell among them, and I'm going to preach to their hearts, and I'm going to minister to their souls. Someone needs to minister to them." And so he went aboard that ship, and for some time, his Lord sustained him, and his ministry was a blessing, blessed among the people. These people that he had cast his lot in for the rest of his life, because he obviously could never return again. And then eventually the mainland receives a letter written by the minister's hand, which reads that the disease has at last come to me, and my hours of labor are now numbered. And before me lies the death of a slow and hideous decay, to which he had doomed himself that he might save others. In Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord says to Joseph in a dream, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And the difference between Christ coming to this earth and this minister to the lepers is the minister came to save people in their sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Yes, even the free and full pardon and cleansing from all sin. And the gospel is the glad tidings of this. That old refrain comes to mind, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Without saving pardon, my dear congregation, we perish. Without saving pardon, we cannot know peace, no matter how much we'll try to find peace in this world and fill our lives with all sorts of trinkets, ideas, pleasures. We'll never know peace until we have this saving pardon. Without this pardon, we cannot be holy. Without this pardon, we cannot have fellowship with God. Without this pardon, when you and I are gone, when this world ends for us, we cannot know heaven without this pardon. And so the gospel that the angels are proclaiming here is the pardon, the glad tidings of pardon, a pardon of all sin, the immediate pardon of all sin, the eternal forgiveness of all sin for everyone who believes in Jesus. Sin is what Jesus saves us from. It's wrath, it's curse, it's penalty, it's judgment. This is why Jesus came. This is what we commemorate today. And all the prophets bear witness that through Jesus and by faith in His name, pardon may be truly obtained. All the apostles preached a full, free, everlasting pardon for all sin. Everyone that believes in Jesus has this. And you this morning may have it. You'll notice something in the reading of our text this morning, that it is a wide declaration, not a narrow one. Proclaims the freeness of the gospel to sinners, as sinners, good news, glad tidings of great joy to all peoples. The Scottish theologian Thomas Chalmers said on this text, "The announcement which was heard from the canopy of heaven was not goodwill to certain men, to the exclusion of others. It's not an offer made to some and kept back from the rest. It is generally to men. We know well the doubts of the dejected, and with what success a severe depression multiplies its arguments for despair. But we will admit none of them. We look at our text and find that it categorizes no outcast, tells us not of the malignity of the disease, because it is the disease of man. Dear one, tell us not," he says, "of your being so grievous an offender that you are the very chief of them. You are still man. The offer of God's goodwill is through Christ Jesus unto all and upon all that believe." And as one of you reminded me yesterday of an old Spurgeon line, he said, "Until God gives me the roll call of the elect, I am going to preach the whosoever will gospel." That is the gospel that we are to preach today. And by the gospel, a complete pardon of every sin, the perfect and everlasting justification of every person is guaranteed to everyone that believes in the name of the Son of God. It's a pardon without penance. And what that means is that you don't ask for forgiveness and then try to work off the sin. It's a pardon without confession to a priest. It's a pardon that is without delay. It is immediate. And so, dear one, the very moment that a sinner rejects all reliance on himself or herself in their own works and places that confidence in the finished work of Christ and confesses his sins at the throne of grace, he is forgiven of all trespasses. That's good tidings of great joy. And as often as he is overcome by temptation and falls into sin and brings guilt upon his conscience, confessing his faults and pleading the merits and name of Christ, trusting in the mercy of God, he is pardoned afresh. That's good tidings of great joy. Daily sins are forgiven by a gracious Father and by a constant applying to all of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Then the conscience is kept clean. The conscience becomes calm and peaceful and happy. What a mercy to have this open fountain. This bubbling fountain, ever flowing for sin and uncleanness. That is good tidings of great joy. What a promise to have the privilege set before us of a free and perfect Savior from sin. And this gospel comes to us. It comes to us not once in our lives, but every day, every time we hear the gospel preached or we read about it, every day it can become good tidings of great joy. Do we see that this is why he came? Good tidings of great joy that there's a Savior, that there's a Savior from sin. Good tidings of great joy that shows a Savior forever. Lastly, the gospel is also the good news for a better country and heavenly. Jesus came from heaven to bring sinners back with him. And bring them back redeemed and forgiven and holy. And so that heaven is a rest for the weary. It's a home for the homeless, the pilgrim of this world. It is the best place for those who are lonely and desolate, Father's house. That's good tidings of great joy. And heaven is made up of all that can feast the intellect and all that can satisfy the heart and all that can fill the soul. And it's enriched with the very presence of God Himself. It's filled with the glory of God Himself and is the house and the home of God. That is good tidings of great joy. That in heaven, there is no pain, there is no privation, there is no grief, there is no sorrow, there's no losses or crosses, temptations or trials, no wants, no woes. Because eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And really no one can give the faintest guess as to what heaven will truly be like. But whatever it is, whatever it contains, the gospel tells us that it is for sinners, just for sinners, redeemed. And the path of this, the path to heaven is not by the righteousness which we have done. It's not by any sufferings that we've endured or can endure. But it is simply faith in Jesus. Simple faith. Childlike faith. We've made it complicated. As one forefather said, God has made the gospel too plain and too simple to suit proud hearts. May God soften the proud hearts and make you to receive a Savior. Simple faith. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the best news, good tidings of great joy. But the unbeliever cannot have life. The unbeliever cannot escape condemnation. The unbeliever cannot arrive in heaven any other way. God's way is plain. God's way is simple. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so this morning, congregation, the kingdom of God has come to us. Will you enter it? The good tidings of great joy of a Savior is made known to you. Will you embrace it? Will you appropriate it? Will you act upon it? The pardon for all sin is open to you. Will you receive it? Heaven. God's heaven and the way to it is set before you. Will you believe and make use of it? The gospel is God's best and last news to fallen man. And it contains all you need for time, for eternity, and to everyone who believes the message and is willing to receive this grace, to everyone who applies to it, he will cast out none. No sinner that hears the gospel preached, no one who hears the good news and is not saved can blame God. He's not saved, she's not saved, because they will not. And so be careful, let's be careful this morning how we receive the good news. There's no greater sin than disbelieving God's good tidings of great joy. There's no greater insult to offend God with than to treat His message with contempt, to treat it with a scoff. For you, it is to believe the gospel, receive Christ as presented in the gospel, and it will satisfy your soul. But if you refuse, if you perish, if you neglect it and die, if you put off even, it may be too late. And on this day that we're gathered here together, right now, the glorious good tidings of great joy are sounded in your ears. As from God, you're told that there's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior for sinners just like you and just like me. A Savior for you if you will appropriate Him, if you will take Him, if you will receive Him, if you will use Him and give yourself to Him. Pardon is now offered to you, the pardon of all your sins, whether they're secret sins or open sins or past sins or present sins, whatever the sin may be. To go unto Him for pardon will make you clean by His righteousness, that garb, that robe that He has and has won to be placed over you. And he will bring holiness to your heart. And he'll give you a foretaste of heaven. A pardon that will fit you for fellowship with God now and communion with him forever. And it's possible that such sinners as we are, so vile, so poor, so feeble, so utterly worthless, that we may obtain this salvation. With man it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And it's more than possible. Only believe, and all is yours. Nothing that is left to be done by your own power. For the Holy Spirit who works faith in the sinner's heart is plainly, positively, and truly promised to every one that asks him. And with that sweet and precious assurance, it is dropped from the Savior's lips. And we close our thoughts this morning on these glad tidings. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Let us pray.